AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
It's the Philippe double dab.
That's right, Gloria.
I don't gotta listen to this.
You go back up on the hill.
Good. 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 Good.
All right.
It's struggling.
Everything has its beauty. But not everyone sees it.
That's why I'm emotional.
There we go.
That's why I'm emotional.
That's Roasted Money, AM 570 LA Sports. Big thank you to Sweet James.
He was great. And a big thank you to Mark Gubaza. We're going to replay that in our last hour because it was so good talking about Joe Madden. Big guest this hour, Joel Klatt. I do have a corrections and retractions. I got screwed up.
What I do?
Corrections and retractions.
I called the Sarah team the Dons. They're the Cavaliers. Dorsey Dons, where my grandma went. I'm sorry. One's a private school, one's publico. Lo siento mucho. But you know, Matt, we're going to be out in Irvine on Monday. We hope to see people at the BJ's restaurant and brew house. We'll have giveaways. We're looking forward to seeing all the people. You'll be back from Tennessee where you're calling Chargers Titans kickoff at 1 on KFI. Lord, I've really been real stressed.
Pick me to another place.
AM 640.
And UCLA, 1 p.m., late one.
Yeah, and UCLA Stanford is tomorrow night on the farm. Countdown to kickoff at 3:30, and the kickoff is at 6 o'clock. So we got a lot of football, and I assume we're getting into that right now, unless you're going to play that call and dissect the Washington Nationals
once again.
All right, it's time for the top story of the day then.
Top story of the day.
Well, it happened in the moment yesterday, so a moment to reflect and get people to weigh in on each side, grade the trade. And I do think that Sam Farmer, who has taken some incoming from me in recent weeks or years regarding his support of the Rams, did put this one best. He tweeted whatever. He basically said, at least they make bold moves. Whatever you may think of the team, whatever you may think of the personnel, however they play, what fans show up, at least when they're 3-3 and drop 3 games in a row, they've always been willing to make bold moves. And there are very few franchises in the NFL that are willing to do that.
React. You know, just like Don Martin. I could hear that show didn't work. I had to fire those guys.
I didn't want to.
They just make a move. React before it gets too late.
They lost 3 straight. Yo soy cubano. They're not afraid.
No, you got to do something, I guess.
Trading for Jalen Ramsey is a monster deal. Taking on a player many acknowledge is the best corner in the league, and everyone else is willing to give him the in the conversation as the best corner in the league. They did that with Brandon Cooks. They traded for him, knowing they'd have to pay him. And we said that when they made that deal, like, so you're trading for a guy who is going to be a free agent, and you're probably going to have to give him 50 or so million bucks. And they did. And Sean McVay said, I need speed. Got to take the top off of defense. You got to go get me speed. And Les Snead may have said, well,
that is what coaches that like to talk like Sean McVay say about fast guys. Take the top off the D.
And they could have said, you know what? We got a first-round pick. We'll do our due diligence. We'll find a guy that's really fast coming out of college, and we're going to get him for you, Sean.
They
and
don't say that. They say, hey, the Rams, we got to get a guy right now that could go vertical and stretch the defense.
And I'm sure Wade Phillips said, Marcus Peters ain't it. Ain't happening. It was a bold move last year.
He's a volatile guy.
I think there's a big part of that to this, too, that nobody's talking about. Like, oh, you know.
Kicked off the football team at Washington. Yeah. It's hard to be that good and kicked off a football team. Tyrann Mathieu comes to mind, obviously.
On his third team now.
Turned his life around. But, I mean, it's hard to get kicked off a football team when you're that good. When you lock down a side of the field, that's a really big deal. On a football team, similar to a left tackle locking down a very talented defensive end. And those guys don't get kicked off of football teams unless they're really a problem.
And what did Tom Telesco tell us yesterday? He said, typically in trades, there's a reason why
that guy's not on the team.
Guys are no longer wanted on the team. And when you think about where Marcus Peters was,
because when a guy competes for you, usually you want to keep him around.
Yeah, it's Andy Reid. They've got Tyreek Hill there. They were willing to put up with Kareem Hunt until a video leaked out, and then they had to get rid of that. I mean, like, Peters is, if he's that good, he's staying on that team.
Sideline set tripping from Marcus Peters
right
last year.
They just took on Frank Clark. Like, when they're willing to give up on a guy who leads the league in interceptions since he entered the league, probably got to wonder why they were willing to do that. They gave up a second rounder for him. He is now gone. They got back a linebacker in his place. But in the case of Ramsey, look,
Ramses, you're the best.
It's a bold pick. And maybe the Rams are one of the rare teams that just doesn't value draft picks like the rest of the league. The league loves them because they're cost controlled, because there's a rookie pay scale and you lock those guys in for 5 years if they're a first rounder. And if you do your evaluations correctly and you scout the right guys,
and you have people cheap and you can win a Super Bowl,
you're going to get a hell of a bargain. And now they have sent away not one, but two. They sent away a first, an extra first for Jared Goff. They sent away a first for Brandon Cooks. And now they've sent away two firsts for Jalen Ramsey. And they're going to have to pay, and they have paid, each and every one of those dudes. Now, remember, Bill Belichick is a guy who routinely trades out of the first round because he's got his own, not the Jimmy Johnson, but he's got his own draft chart, and he feels that people overvalue ones, and he would rather amass a bunch of twos and threes and fours, feeling that he can out-scout everybody else and still find talent in those rounds.
Right, we've seen Cooper Kupp.
Right.
Cooper Kupp's
exactly.
been picked by the Rams. That's one of Tyler Higbee, who's a starter for them, is a lower pick.
They've done a good job
for the
those.
Rams, so they definitely have picked guys that play. I mean, my only thing, if I'm a Rams fan, I mean, I wasn't worried about the defense.
Right.
You know, I was worried about Gurley not being the same player, paying him all this money.
A lot.
And
top of the market.
Of course.
Jared Goff.
And the quarterback.
So that brings us to the second part of this in the other shoe. That, yeah, it's a great, bold strategy, Cotton. But when Stan Kroenke is spending however many billions of dollars it's going to cost to build this stadium that's going to open in July with a Taylor Swift concert, when you're asking him to fork over another, and if you look at it, Xavien Howard is now the highest paid corner in the league in Miami. He's got a $75.5 million deal. Landon Collins is a safety. He just got an $84 million deal. You bet your ass if you gave up two firsts and a fourth for Jalen Ramsey, his agent's going to say, yeah, he's going to be the highest paid defensive back in the league. I don't care about Xavien Howard's deal. I'm going to put him in the grouping of defensive backs. And we're going to take on Landon Collins, $84 million, and we're going to want more than that. Because if you don't, I don't know if you heard, but he's got this back issue, and then he's got families in Tennessee, and he's got another one in Florida, I think.
Yeah, there's a reason he's not in Jacksonville anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe not the greatest dude ever to have on your team. Maybe he is, but...
But he has shown he is willing to play the game if he does not get what he wants.
Exactly.
So he has got, not 90, not 95, 100%. Of the leverage when you're giving up two ones. And maybe the Rams don't care. And I would say they probably sorted this all out before they traded for him. But if I'm going to take Les Snead at his word, and why wouldn't I?
He said he didn't know.
He said he told Sean McVay and Wade Phillips, hey, we might trade Marcus Peters and this Jalen thing might not come together. Now, maybe that means he had to call Jalen's agent and ask them, what are you looking for? What's it going to take? Because, and this is where you mentioned just a minute ago, it gets interesting. Because Jared Goff's extension kicks in next year. That's $36 million cap hit. Aaron Donald, $25 million. Gurley, $17 million. Cooks, $16.5 million. I would expect Jalen Ramsey's number to be in the range of $20 to $25 million hit in that first year. Why do you care? It's not my money. I don't give a damn where they spend it or how they spend it. But the reason why you care is because they have got an offensive line that they are not going to, and it's what you just discussed. Is he going to help Todd Gurley run the ball? Is he going to help Jared Goff stand in a clean pocket and not freak out and airmail Gerald Everett by 6 yards when he's wide open down the right sideline?
He'll probably make it worse by talking ass on the sideline. Why do you guys suck? Why did I come here?
So
I thought y'all were good on offense.
That's what you got to worry about.
You guys look like Bortles. You guys want to put them out here?
And left tackles, when you don't have first-round draft picks, left tackles do not hit the market. When they do, they're Riley Reiff and Matt Khalil, and they get $70 million deals, and they're cut 2 years later by their team, realizing, my God, we've made a huge mistake. And the current left tackle market, because Andrew Whitworth is not coming back next year. I think it is clear that this year.
He's going to finish this year?
Look, you got a hell of a deal. McVay and Snead, way to go. You signed a guy that the Bengals were like, I'm not paying my age 35 and age 36 left tackle $18 million a year because I'm guessing he's going to fall off. And he didn't. He played at an elite level. They won the division back-to-back years. They made it to the Super Bowl last year. But this year, it is clear that he, in age 37 year, is not going to be back next year. So you have to replace your left tackle. You just traded for a backup center that just so happens to be a backup on the worst offensive line in the league. The Cleveland Browns, I don't know what you see. Maybe you see something and you found a diamond in the rough. That's certainly possible. But they have to remake that entire offensive line, and they're going to do it when in an offseason they're going to have to pay a cornerback probably $90 million.
You say paying all these guys, especially Goff and Gurley, is going to hamstring what they got to do in the future, especially if Goff and Gurley aren't what they were purported to be when they were paid all that money?
And that's... Look, they're
smarter. No longer a Super Bowl team? Is that what you're saying?
They're smarter than I am, that's for sure. They went to a Super Bowl last year, but it just seems like they are apt to make the splashy play. And they drafted Aaron Donald, and they drafted Jared Goff, and they drafted Todd Gurley, and that triumvirate was able to take them to a Super Bowl, but they were also able to surround them because they were not making money yet. They were on their rookie deals with high-level talent at other positions. Dante Fowler's going to be a free agent at the end of this year. I mean, there are, and again, Jalen's one corner. There's still two out there, and God knows we've all seen it. You can avoid the one guy and pick on the other the whole game.
Your second receiver, probably pretty good.
Mohamed Sanu is a damn good receiver. You might be able to put Jalen Ramsey on Julio Jones, and that's probably a toss-up anyway, but I'm guessing Matt Ryan, who's been doing this for a long time and has won a league MVP, is going to be able to find, I think his name's Troy Hill, out there on the other side of the field to pick on him instead. So, love the bold strategy, love the big play, inject some life into your team after three straight losses when the 49ers are 5-0.
Should have never played Goff! Should have never paid Gurley!
Right. I mean, you didn't have to pay him. And instead, the guy's going to make $36 million next year. It'll be fun watching him out there. Again, I mean, if we get a Jalen Ramsey, Julio Jones treat on Sunday, great. We all win. That's going to be fun.
I remember you saying why they paid Goff. Well, if they didn't play well, they didn't want the noise getting deafening. Now the noise is deafening because they did pay him.
Right? Never thought that'd be the case. But here we are. Congratulations on acquiring one of the elite talents in the NFL. But now you're going to have to pay him, and that's a tricky puzzle to have to put together. I guess I'll just worry about that in the offseason and see if this helps them get back to the Super Bowl.
I hope he doesn't set trip on the sideline.
Well, you know.
As long as there's no set trip.
Beach is on.
Well, I think it would be better. Joe Klatt will join us in the very next segment to talk about college football and to be himself.
Petros and Money on AM570 LA Sports. We are your home of the Dodgers. Unfortunately, they are out of the postseason, which is why we are now your home of football. And that means tomorrow night, UCLA versus Stanford. Countdown to kickoff at 3:30 p.m. Kickoff at 6. That means flex alert tomorrow, 1 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. right here before we hand it over to Tim Cates. And we have Monday Night Football, of course, coming up on Monday. That means a live broadcast for our Monday Night Football tour at BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse in Irvine. We'll be out there, 13130 Jamboree Road in the Marketplace. Ample parking, $5 margaritas, half off large pizzas for Monday Night Football happy hour. Come see us. Prizes will be given away as well.
Man. That does not look like what my family looks like.
Oh, man, freak out!
Walk into the car. We do not look like that at all. It's much more of a fight, screaming and crying.
Well,
and I have a Chevy. I mean,
it's
the same
filthy.
It's the same company there. Well, you're the cocking car. Joining us right now, live in Norman, Big Noon Kickoff.
He's a real American.
Of course, here that means 9 a.m. The big game on Big Fox. The big dog. Joe Klatt, ladies and gentlemen, former Colorado quarterback. The top of the pops when it comes to college football analysts at Fox Sports and maybe the world.
Trolled by Tim Cates in his Padre
uniform.
Tim
always wants to do that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Cool.
What's up with that, Cates?
Right?
Come on.
I wake up this morning and I didn't even see it. I see a text that goes, wow, Cates is really trying to shade Klatt. Why would he do that? I miss Joel on the show. But we wanted Joel to get his big noon legs under him, you know, with the new show and the new studio and all the new stuff. You know, he's out there with Gus Johnson and Jenny Taft, Chuck McDonald on the production, Big Rich Dewey as the director. What a crew! So on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline, it is Joel Klatt, fresh off the Red River Shootout. Yeah.
You know, the tweet was, you know, it was positive, and yet also it trolled me. I mean, the only thing that is different between Tim and I is that I actually had a 209 average in minor league
baseball. Yeah, look at that. Hey, Joel, if I may, because look,
that's really brutal.
You're in exceptional shape. You've got a very strong jawline, as we can see when you're walking with the family to that sweet caddy.
That's not what we look like walking.
No, it's not.
I mean, my walk to my car.
I stumble. I'm like looking for my keys. I got a bit of a hitch in my giddy up. But
trying to adjust your balls like Lamar Odom.
In that photo of you.
Sometimes you just got to adjust them, you know?
Sometimes you feel the need. Like, I'm going to just kind of.
Not when you're with Gus and the three boys
exactly
and Sarah Klatt. You guys are striding out to the caddy.
Were you clocking in with like a few extra pounds in that photo when you were in the minor league system?
Oh, you don't know Fat Klatt?
Oh, yeah.
You've never seen Fat Klatt? Yeah. Look at him as the Colorado quarterback. He's huge.
Like Ben Roethlisberger, Fat Face.
Listen, somebody,
Fat Klatt?
Get on the Google machine and get him some Fat Klatt.
Oh, Fat Klatt is a legend. Fat Klatt is almost much of a legend as like Fat Don Martin. You know, we go to the office and there's pictures of Fat Don Martin.
Right.
Hey, I mean, that's why I was around the wedding, but now I eat chicken 1,000 ways, my man, every night.
I told you, my man, there was nothing I could do. It was half price.
I told Joel, secret chickpeas. That's where you get your protein now. Whoa, look at that.
Yeah,
what a fat face.
Yeah, you bet. There he is.
That's good
Post
stuff.
Post that one on Twitter, Kate.
Now, Joel, you always have a rather large axe to grind during college football for one reason or another. And this year you have turned your sharpened axe toward the ACC conference.
I'm chopping away.
It's a deeply top-heavy conference. There's no doubt about it. But Clemson is probably going to be in the college football playoff. I mean, let's be honest. They've been there, and they've acquitted themselves very well there, as opposed to some of the teams that we see during the year in the Big 12 and the Pac-12 and even the Big 10. So what do you think? Maybe you're a little too hard on the old ACC, or, hey, F the ACC.
Well, definitely the latter. No,
I think that.
I'm sorry, Joel. Is it that bad? Like, is the ACC really that bad? Even my guys at NC State.
They are. I think even your boys, your homies at NC State. The problem is that yes, they're incredibly top heavy, and I think people, you know, they feel the sharpened edge of that axe, and they think that axe is trying to grind against the Tigers, but it's not. I think Clemson is really good, and I think that they're going to go to the playoff. There's not much competition in that league. My problem is that league is really bad right now. There's not another ranked team in the league. There's more American Conference teams ranked than there are ACC teams. They've got the equal number of teams as the Sun Belt or the Mountain West ranked right now in the top 25. And quite frankly, Clemson's not going to have a top 25 match up the rest of the season. The other side of that division for their championship game, every team in that division has at least two losses, at least one within the ACC. So I think that's problematic to some degree. Then there's this other part where when you look at the schedule that they've actually played, they're one of, I think it's four teams in the FBS that have not played a team with a winning record out of the Power Five.
Oof.
It's like Arkansas, North Carolina State, your boys, your homies, and Utah. So, you know, I think that we can rightly criticize what Clemson has done and put them at where, listen, I've got them at 7. I think that the 11 AP poll voters that voted Clemson number one, I mean, very softly and in a nice way, should have their poll vote and their vote in general ripped out of their cold, dead hands.
Okay. It seems a little aggressive, but
take their vote after they've been killed.
Joel, do you,
right.
as someone who calls Big Ten football, are you of the belief that they will get a team in no matter what? It's possible that either Wisconsin or because they've been shut out 2 years in a row, right? You can't shut out the Big Ten 3 years in a row, can you?
No, like listen, I don't think so. Although you know those teams could very easily eat themselves up. You know, Ohio State has to play both Wisconsin and Penn State in the regular season. They would likely have to rematch against Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game. So I think that there's a lot of football left. And listen, everyone started to write off Georgia last week. If you're going to lose a game and still get to the playoff, South Carolina in the middle of the year is the exact game to lose. Because what you don't want to do is lose late into an SEC championship or to another contender. And I think that gives people too much ammunition. Meanwhile, Georgia, all they do is control their own destiny. If they win out, they're going to go. And I think that's what the Big Ten needs to avoid, is they need to avoid some team that we don't think is getting in now to win their conference championship out of the SEC. Let's say Florida or Georgia out of the SEC East, because I think that would throw just a huge wrench in everything as it relates to who of the four teams are going to be from which conference.
One more real quick on the Big Ten, Joel. Penn State goes to Iowa, big win at Kinnick, and now they get into that part of their schedule where it's Iowa, but now they're on that half. Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State. Do you think James Franklin's long-term there, or might he be the one guy to circle, kind of recognizing what he's up against year in, year out, a great coach in the sport, and just has a tough road every single season because he's on that half of the bracket with Michigan and Ohio State?
Well, I think that there's certainly a division that's easier, the Pac-12 South.
Hey, now.
I don't know if that's what you're hinting at or not.
Maybe I brought you to the water there and you started drinking.
You know, it's interesting. I think he's done a really nice job there, and I think that if he can win this year, 2 years removed from losing Saquon Barkley, a year removed from losing his all-time leading passer and all-time winningest quarterback, Trace McSorley, I think that you can make a case of why he might be able to stay there and try to challenge and continue to challenge Ohio State. I think there is something to be said for that. There's also something to be said for trying to put yourself in the best possible situation for success year in and year out. And maybe Penn State's not the place because of Ohio State and the proximity and difficulty in that division. So I think it's interesting. And, I mean, if you were asking about USC specifically, let me just, you know, take the two leaps forward for you. I do think that USC needs to do this the right way, in that USC better hire the right athletic director first and make that person make the decision. Because this whole, like, hey, boosters are going to hire the coach, then we're going to hire an AD who didn't hire the coach, that's the wrong way about it. And they're just going to be right back into this situation in a few years where the leadership at the school and at the university more in general is failing that football program and the student athletes themselves. So I do think that USC should start focusing more on their AD search rather than focusing on who they think they're going to be hiring for the next coach if they need to hire a next coach.
At Joe Klatt, Big Noon on Fox. You see him do the college games with Gus Johnson, a fabulous broadcaster and college football mind. Now, Joel, you've been in Oklahoma a whole bunch, and you've been in Columbus a whole bunch. And if you haven't been there, you've been doing a game where those guys are. So who has been more impressive? Here we are in the middle of October to you. Obviously, Jalen Hurts and Lincoln Riley, or the situation at Ohio State that Day's got going on.
I think Ohio State has been the most impressive team in the country. They lead the Power Five in rushing. And I don't think that's anything to scoff at. J.K. Dobbins has been terrific. He's averaging 138 yards per game, over 7 a carry. Their defense has been downright dominant. They've beaten 11 ranked opponents. 4 of the last 5 were by 20 points or more. They lead the country in point differential at just over 240. I really just think that this is the type of team with the type of players and the right type of quarterback that could make a push towards a national championship. Did you know that if you go back to the 2017 recruiting rankings, and P, I know that you're not a big recruiting rankings guy, and candidly, I'm not either, and you and I talk about that a lot.
But on a macro level, it makes a difference, right?
It does, right? And think about this. Just on Ohio State's defense alone, this year, they've got 4 starters on their defense that were ranked in the top 20 overall players in 2017. That's insane. You know, so the talent that they have, in particular on defense, they've got three secondary players that are going to be NFL players. They've got four defensive end that are going to be NFL players, including who I think is going to be the best player in college football coming out this year, which is Chase Young.
The Chase Young will do battle with Tua at the top of the NFL draft. They can't let Tua leave college football without a Heisman Trophy, right? Like, it would really have to fall apart for him not to win it.
Well, I mean, we let Peyton Manning walk out without a Heisman Trophy.
And he was sad.
But he didn't win championships.
And he was so sad.
He was super sad, and Charles Woodson was smiling. But
he was sad. There was a lot of sadness. Lots of sadness.
RG3 never won no championship.
No.
Yeah, he didn't. And here's the – I don't know about if it's a problem. I think Tua is fantastic. I really do. It's going to come down to, at some point, you know, that game against Joe Burrow. If LSU beats him and Joe Burrow plays well, I think we're all going to have to vote for Joe Burrow at that point. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
You know, this is not a career achievement award, Matt.
Right.
And it's still got to be this year and who was best this year. And, you know, I think from that standpoint, it is still up in the air whether Tua wins this Heisman or not.
I guess I'll rephrase it then. Let's say Jalen Hurts and Tua, Oklahoma and Alabama both went out. Both have eye-popping statistics. I would assume, right, most voters would recognize, okay, these guys are 1 and 1A. Let's lean Tua here, right?
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. I think that the sentiment around Jalen and the way that he left and the sportsmanship that he showed and so on and so forth, I think that carries a lot of weight as well. I don't know, to answer your question. I think that's a great question. I really do. I think that this performance with two turnovers against Texas is going to be a lot to overcome. And generally, when it comes to this trophy, the Heisman, it does come down to two things, overall production and stages. And I don't know if Jalen's going to have the stages that Tua does later in the season. He's going to have the Alabama game. I think that the SEC championship game will garner a lot more attention than the Big 12 championship game when you're just trying to beat Texas for the second time, if Texas can get back to that point. So I think that the stages go against Jalen, and for that standpoint, I think it's going to be hard for him to overtake Tua Tagovailoa. But remember, at this point last year, we had said, oh, this is Tua's, it's done, it's signed, it's sealed, it's delivered. Kyler turned it over twice, lost in Red River, and then lo and behold, come December 10th or whenever it was Kyler Murray holding up the trophy.
Who wins the Pac-12 Heisman? If the Heisman could only go to a guy
I like
in the Pac-12.
I like it.
Now, it's not made of metal. It's carved out of
like paper mache, maybe.
It's carved
like
out of tofu because green is
green's the theme.
Yeah, there's the theme this year. So who wins the Pac-12 Tofu Heisman presented by Larry Scott's yoga teacher?
I really like Herbert. 17 touchdowns, one interception. But I'll tell you who has quietly played really good is Tyler Huntley. Like, quietly, but he has played
absolutely
ridiculously good football.
Oh, hasn't I saw him tear up Wazoo.
I mean, they tore him up. And so I think that that's an interesting battle there. I think Eason has a lot of talent, but he doesn't have a lot around him. And with Jacob Breeland out now, who's the tight end for Oregon, I think Herbert is going to be asked to step up even more, and we'll see how he's able to do that on the road against Washington. That's a great game, and I think the winner of that game is going to win the North Division.
Could you make a case, let's say they went out and continue to dominate specifically on defense, could you make a case that Oregon will be the best team left out of the playoff?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Like, there's still a potential where you've got like a one loss, let's just say LSU, that may not make it in as a non-division champ. And, you know, we may have an undefeated Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, and Oklahoma that you would put in over LSU. And I think people would generally say LSU would be better than Oregon. The way that it's going now, Oregon's going to get close. They're not going to get over the hump because they're never going to get the benefit of the doubt, even over the second or third place team in the SEC, because quite frankly, they lost to what is right now the fifth best team in that league.
They blew it.
So they're never going to get over that bar.
They blew it against Auburn. You blew it in Dallas.
You blew it.
You blew it. The great Joel Klatt never blows it, especially when he takes the air and he gets behind the wheel of that sweet Cadillac.
Darn
yeah!
Right. Them kids love it.
November is coming.
All right, Gus, you can come. Fine, get in.
Joel will be calling games through November into the beginning of December. Joel,
hey, Matt.
Yeah.
So that picture that you see on the Google machine with me all fat right there.
Oh, yeah, you're fat, all right.
That's at the end of a bowl week, Houston Bowl. And that was back when I was, not sober. So it was just a week full of beers and buffets. Oh, it was glorious.
Look, I think you look great. I think, you know what? A lot of people are into that.
Hey, you know what?
You know, like, I don't need y'all chiseled and muscly.
If a D-end hit Joel now from Texas, Joel would go flying out of the stadium. At least now, back then, he was fat. He would only go, he'd fly 5 yards back.
Oh, it's such a good
photo. That's right. And then I would get up and I'd be like, oh, give me 6 schlitzes.
Oh, good schlitz. That's a good looking can.
Norman, 9 a.m., hosting West Virginia. Check out Jalen Hurts for yourself. And
I
obviously,
love the hair, too. The hair is just so good.
It's a great broadcast. Look at that C on his chest.
You're damn right it is, Matt.
Hey, we're voting this fat freaking albino guy our captain.
That was mean.
Post it, Cates. Post it.
Thank you, Joel.
Thanks, Joel.
Thank you, Cates.
All right, we'll be right back with more PMS on AM 570 LA Sports on a We Just Won't Be Defeated Wednesday. I want to get home.
I don't know my stuff. Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports. We are your home for football, and we have got 2 games in 4 days. Tomorrow night, UCLA versus Stanford. Countdown to kickoff is early at 3:30. That means we're on early. So if you are looking for your Petros and Money fill tomorrow, it will start at 1, it will end at 3:30, and then you will get UCLA versus Stanford football kickoff at 6 p.m. in a full. Everybody demanded it, and we delivered 2.5 hours of pregame going into that one. And then, of course, remember, Monday, we want you to come see us. It's the kickoff of our Monday Night Football Tour with BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. That's going to be in Irvine, 13130 Jamboree Road at the Marketplace. Ton of parking, prizes to give away, plus you're going to get half off large pizzas.
Oh, half off is a great price!
$5. BJ Brewhouse margaritas. We'll be enjoying those and the pizzas and your company while giving away all those great prizes.
Come on down and see us. If you came and saw us at the Rockin' Brews in Tustin,
double up.
Then come to see us at the BJ's.
Double up.
If you liked us at the prom, then come see us at the Winter Formal.
Exactly right, man.
If you liked us on Friday, then why don't we have a date on Saturday? And do it twice.
It's a good way to sell it.
Well, we're going right back.
The secret text also line.
Sold out to Chevy.
All right, Matt.
Brendan.
A lot of textosos about yesterday's show. A lot of people pretty darn excited about what they heard on the podcast on am570lasports.com/PMS. P. Life is truly stranger than fiction. Last year, if you would have said that LeBron James had made controversial statements against freedom of speech and supported the PRC and that it caused such a media frenzy that PMS had to do a Mao No Mao call segment while playing the Trash Men, I would have said it's so outlandish that not even South Park would use that premise for an episode. And yet, here it is. In hour one of the podcast, the greatest hour of great sports talk of all time.
Great sports talk.
To paraphrase Charlie Steiner, it couldn't even happen in Hollywood, but it did.
But it did.
Hashtag Mao No Mao. Hashtag Papa Oo Mao Mao. Papa Oo Mao Mao.
We got the analog version today. Yesterday, digital version. Today, analog.
Yesterday's podcast proves PMS is the Grateful Dead of AM Sports Talk. Even after all these years,
that's the truth.
Inspiration and magic can coalesce into a flawless show. Well done.
And happy birthday, Bobby Weir.
Papa Oo Mao Mao.
Papa Oo Mao Mao. I do want to credit the listeners as well. It got off to an exceptional start. Our first guy just said, Mao. And bang, we were off. And our second guy...
Less is more!
...made the Chiang Kai-shek reference, and it's like, holy crap. We are off to the races.
Now, Matt, this one's about you.
Oh, boy.
P, a little disappointed in Matt referring to his skinny-ass bacon as part of the All-American breakfast. We all know that Jimmy Dean sausage, fried eggs, and T-bone steaks is the real American breakfast. And Matt needs to quit serving his kid that ass. Let me get some Jimmy Dean right now.
Randy Taylor.
I don't know where you people come from. I don't know if you test your products. Your products are very delicious. Love your sausage for 30-something years, but I can't take and feed a family of
five
on a little 12-ounce roll of sausage. I don't mind paying you more money for your 16-ounce roll of sausage.
Happy to do it.
But you don't have it anymore.
33%
and you've got
more.
Three men that weigh over 200 pounds apiece,
okay.
A woman that's a little plump
Scotch girl,
and a daughter who's 13, and you're going to try to take a 12-ounce roll of sausage
and
a couple of dozen eggs and feed that, it ain't going to work. And I'm not going to purchase your product anymore or ever again.
No.
And as far as your 16-ounce and maple and sage, I don't eat that. I'm not from the North.
Not from the North.
I'm a Texas man. Jimmy Dean sausage is for Southern people to eat with the breakfast with the fried eggs and the T-bone steak.
Exactly, Matt. You're right.
I'd sure like a reply because I'm not going to buy it otherwise ever again. I'll just have my own damn sausage made like I used to 30-something years ago. It's
That's
not
good.
Tasty as yours is, but it'll work. Goodbye.
Wait,
a little 12-ounce goddamn old sausage.
Didn't hang up.
Be your brother and me and you, 600 pounds of men, at least. You get my point? And the two girls, and they put it in that f***ing pussy roll of sausage. Son of a bitch. Somebody needs their ass kicked. Some little consumer geekeroid. F*** this shit up.
Save money.
Save money. I'm going to eat, goddammit.
There's so much goodness in the end of that.
Podcaster. No Mao, long live Kublai Khan!
Not even Genghis. Kublai.
Shame on you, LeBron!